T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Midday with Jamie and Grayson here on this Monday. John Grayson on vacation. Scott Parks from Dayton Parks, kind enough to come in yet again. I appreciate it. As on Friday, I was squeaky, and I'm a little less squeaky today.
There's a silver lining in everything.
Yes.
You sound better.
Thank you.
You don't sound like you're 100%.
It's arable. Yes.
But you sound better.
Thank you. Yes. As I said, I finally got my left ear to pop for the first time in 5 days. So that was a...
What do you got?
I don't know.
Are you sick?
I mean, I sound like... I honestly don't know. I've not been to a doctor yet because I don't feel like it's anything they're going to be able to cure.
Do you feel good? I mean, otherwise you feel fine?
My head feels a little stuffy maybe. My right eye is bloodshot for no particular reason. My chest feels fine. I can breathe.
Are you on meth?
No.
Okay.
No. That's not the first thing. That's what you assumed first. Like, if anything, you could have picked. COVID test was negative. I don't know if it's just bad air that I'm around or something.
Oh, sure.
Sleeping with the windows open or...
Yeah, that's never good.
Or what the heck it is, but...
Well, you sound like you're getting better.
Thank you. Hopefully, like,
so
one more day.
So there's your silver lining.
Yes, and thank you for popping in here for a while. Appreciate it. So I know that you and Dana have talked, like we have on your show, about the shortage of school bus drivers. And it seems to really be hitting Raytown for some reason. And there was a story out of Channel 9 over the weekend about what they are going to start doing to address it. 913-586-7798 is the phone number to get in. And the question that I'm curious about is, what is the acceptable distance for kids to walk to school? Because what they're doing is they have expanded the, quote, parent responsibility zone, which makes fewer, but that's what they're calling it. So these are the areas where we're not going to run buses, and this is now your problem. And so parents, you either need to get your kids to school if you live in this area, or your kids are going to have to walk. So for elementary school students, the parent responsibility zone grew to a mile perimeter around the school. It used to be a half mile. For secondary schools, that zone is now a mile and a half. I don't know what it was before. There are no bus stops in those zones, meaning they can free up buses and bus drivers to go to other areas that are further away from the school. They're still working to find bus drivers to fill that need, but this is what they're going to do in the meantime. Mm-hmm. So they're putting it back on parents. And this goes to, you know, they were looking for parents to try to come out and fill some of those bus driver roles. And I know you guys talked about that too. There was an event this weekend, Come Test Drive a School Bus. To see, we had ads for it on KMBZ.
Come Test Drive a
Test
School
Drive
Bus.
A School Bus, yeah. Huh. To try to get more people out to try to go do that job. And so what they're doing instead is putting more of the responsibility on parents.
Well, you know, it seems there's almost two prongs to this discussion, if I may. Number one is they're pushing the parent responsibility zone, which is the no busing and get to hoofing it, kids, zone. And I don't, to a mile, the way I understood what you just said.
Yep.
I don't find that horribly unreasonable. In fact, I don't find it unreasonable at all. That's a 15-minute walk. However, is the hoofing it zone or the parent responsibility zone limited to the neighborhoods that surround the elementary school? Because most elementary schools are smaller, and they feed into larger middle schools, which then feed into larger high schools. As long as the kids aren't crossing 49 or 71 highway, whatever we call it these days, they're not crossing over, you know, major roads through town, then I don't have a problem with it. The second prong, though, if I may, is we have a problem. We have a problem with teachers sticking around. We have a problem finding enough lunch ladies. We have a problem finding enough school bus drivers.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that the answer to those three problems are very simple. It's kids that, for whatever reason, the teachers, lunch ladies, or men, or school bus drivers think are just out of control. And mm-hmm. Or maybe it's you, parents, who are out of control, and they don't like dealing with you anymore. And quite frankly, money solves most problems. So you either need to get the parents or the kids off of the teachers, off of the school bus drivers, and off of the lunch ladies' backs and let them do their jobs, or you need to pay them more money, period.
Which of those is more likely to happen?
Pay more money.
Yeah, I think so too. And I don't know where that money's going to come from.
I don't either.
But you're eventually going to hit a point where this is going to get, schools are just going to say, we're just going to stop busing kids.
Yeah. You want your kid to get educated.
You get them here.
We're giving you a free education.
Yep.
You bring them here to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
We're not responsible for getting your kid to school. You are.
Which is going to have a lot of economic problems of its own. Channel 9 cites a parent who said she turned down a job offer to make sure that she could get her kids to school because buses aren't consistent or don't go where she mm-hmm. lives. I have a question about kids walking to school. Do we assume then that an elementary school kid is going to walk alone for a mile to school?
I would always go under the assumption, because I would never allow my child to walk alone. And my child did walk to school. My children did walk to school. I shouldn't say child. I have more than one. And there was a street that they did have to cross to get to the school, which was, I'm not going to call it busy, but it wasn't a residential street. And I would either walk them to school in the morning or they would walk with friends.
Okay.
And preferably a friend and their parent.
Yeah.
But not always.
Or older kids. Because what that's saying, and I don't know, is there a big difference between an elementary school kid walking a half mile versus a mile? I don't know. Just time, I guess. But I think I take issue a little bit with elementary school kids walking to school by themselves without some kind of older kid with them or something like that. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's not a big difference. Maybe it's been that way for a long time. When I was a kid, I lived half a mile from my school, but a bus went by our house. And our district's policy was, if a bus goes by your house, you cannot walk to school. You have to take the bus. So I had to, even though I could have walked it in 5 minutes, instead I had to take the 45-minute bus route because a bus went by my school.
One thing I've wondered about, though, is, and it's an interesting point that you just brought up, and this is so into the weeds, it may not even be worth discussing. Are we putting too many bus stops? I just speak from anecdotal experience. There is a road not far from my house named Woodland Road, okay?
Yeah.
And on Woodland Road, there have been occasions where I've gotten stuck behind a bus, which is like a gateway to hell because you can't pass them. You don't want to pass them. It's against the law.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But once you get stuck behind a bus, man, you're stuck. But this bus that goes down Woodland Road in Shawnee doesn't stop at bus stops. It stops at each house where it's supposed to pick up a kid. And which can be on this one stretch of woodland. I know for a fact, and this was a couple years ago, not recently, there were at least three different kids on that street that were picked up. Now, why can't all three of them wait at one predetermined bus stop?
Yeah.
And the bus driver just picks them up and goes on his or her way. Why do we have to stop the damn bus at three different houses? Can the kids not walk?
So if you were to consolidate more of those, does that free up bus drivers at all?
It shortens the amount of time.
Yeah.
So therefore it would free up bus drivers in a sense, yes.
Or you could do a longer route.
Yeah.
Then.
You could do a geographical longer route.
Yeah.
If you made the bus stops, not every I remember when Maya was in elementary school. Check that middle school. Cuz she did take the bus to middle school cuz it was so far away. There was a bus on the block over and then a bus stop on our block.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew when the bus was coming because we could hear it on the other block stopping.
Right. And it always came in the same time. I mean, within seconds, bus was always at the same time. Let's get a quick call on here. Colin's going to get mad at me. Let's get a quick call in here. James has called us up at a KCK. Hey, James. Uh-oh. All I did was press one button. Colin's like, yeah, you don't know how to do anything. All right, James, if you want to call back, 913-586-7798. Again, the story out of Raytown is that the parent responsibility zone, where there are going to be no bus stops, is expanding in Raytown because of the shortage of bus drivers. What do we think? 913-586-7798. Scott Parkson for John Grayson. We'll be back in just a few minutes on KMBZ. John Grayson on vacation today. Scott Parks from Dana and Parks hanging out early with us. Talking about the story out of Channel 9, Raytown Schools, because of a shortage of bus drivers, is increasing what they call the parent responsibility zone. It's the area around schools. I know they need a better name for it, but they're being blunt about the fact.
Get the stepping zone.
Yeah, they're being blunt about the fact that we don't have enough bus drivers. Therefore, we need to expand the area where we don't have to run buses. And so now for elementary school students, that zone is a mile perimeter around the school. It used to be a half mile. For secondary schools, it's now a mile and a half. And so there are no bus stops in those areas. That means kids are going to have to walk to school or find rides. But bottom line is, it's not on the district. It's on parents to figure it out. 913-586-7798. We'll go to the phones here. Kazette joins us from KC. Hey, Kazette.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, good. Did you want my opinion of the school zones and walking, et cetera?
Yes, please.
Please.
Okay. I was a captain for Securitas, and my job was to, if there was an alarm in a school, I would go disarm it, and I would make sure that it was safe. I don't know how many times that I would go by, and the parents would drop the kids off at a bus stop, and they would be next to a building where they were supposed to gather. And there's this one time that this little girl, she was no more than eight, and she was left out in the cold alone, and she was trying to huddle into the door, and it was blowing snow. It was so cold. They had called off school. We need responsible parents to get those kids to know if they're school or not. I called whenever it was 5 o'clock in the morning to know if my son was going to school or not that day. We also need to, let's go to the DFS. Let's say if they are disabled or if they don't have a car. Just one question. Do you have a car to get your child to school? Yes, no. Well, let's get DFS in there, get more jobs for them. State does pay more. I also think that whenever, you know, if the generation of welfare, generations of welfare, they don't know better where they need to be educated. It's just horrible, some of the situations I've seen, some of these kids left out in the cold. I think it's the parents' fault. I think I blame the parents totally. I mean, we got people, God forbid, living under a bridge, and they just assume Johnny's going to walk to school. In the meantime, they're going to meet Joe, the drug dealer, or whatever. We're talking about junior high. But anyone that would let a child walk a mile from the school, you've got to be, you can't even stay. We go to school 15 minutes. You get frostbite. And we're talking about winter coming up. How rude. How absolutely. Let's get DFS or the state involved. Churches involved.
Okay.
With that school bus.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Okay. Somebody tell me whether you think a mile is too far for an elementary school kid to walk. I feel like I'm not worried about kids getting frostbite in a mile.
Where is the way back when caller? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
How many jokes have been told about, well, back when we were kids, we used to walk uphill both ways.
Yeah.
To and from school. We had to wear snowshoes and everything. Is walking to school not something that we used to do? Or I distinctly remember walking to Meadows Elementary School at Fort Hood, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, winters in Texas are not nearly as bad as winters in Kansas City. I get it. But I distinctly remember walking to school, and I crossed Tank Destroyer Boulevard, which was at least two lanes each direction.
Yeah, somebody texted in about, I don't know roads in Raytown well enough, but if you live in Raytown, by all means, 63rd Street is apparently a concern of kids crossing with no crossing guards. And a couple of you on the text line are bringing up the idea of no sidewalks.
Yeah, that's a legitimate concern.
Okay, so that's where somebody needs to educate me more about Raytown and that parent responsibility zone. If there are no sidewalks, should we be expecting kids to walk to school? Because then we have concerns about, you know, kids being hit by cars and there are nowhere for mm-hmm. nowhere for them to go. 913-586-7798. I cannot take, nope. Okay, everybody who's on hold, Cindy, James, everybody else, we will take a break. We'll get to more of your calls on this one. Scott Parks in for John Grayson back here in just a few minutes on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Phone number to get in here, 913-586-7798. Scott Parks hanging out with us from Dade and Parks early today. John Grayson's on vacation. Talking about the story out of Channel 9. This is the Raytown School District. That is one of many districts having a lot of trouble getting school bus drivers. So what they've decided to do is expand the parent responsibility zone that makes for fewer bus routes because there are fewer drivers. So for elementary school students, that zone grew to a mile perimeter around the school. It used to be half mile. For secondary schools, it's now a mile and a half. And so in those zones, it's on parents to figure it out. Either your kid's got to walk, you got to take them to school, but there are no bus stops there. We'll go to the phones here. Let's go first to Josh out of Raytown. Hey, Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hi,
guys. Hi. Yeah, I'm actually a parent who lives in the responsibility zone in Raytown. And I'm not going to complain about the buses. Raytown owns their buses. It's their job to fill them with drivers. But the biggest problem is you're asking children to cross what are some pretty major streets in the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. Here in the Eastwood district on the fourth day of school, a crossing guard was hit by a car at 8:08 in the morning on 51st Street by a car doing 45 miles an hour because it's no posted school zone. There's only a couple signs that denote that children walk. There's no blinking lights. Certainly no school zone. There were no police. It was one young woman walking into the middle of the road with a stop sign. And I don't think the Raytown School District has done enough to keep the children they're asking to walk safe at all.
Can I ask you a question about sidewalks? Because we were talking about this a few minutes ago. I'm not familiar enough, and I apologize, with Raytown to know, are there enough sidewalks for kids to be on?
There are sidewalks on a lot of the residential streets that are near the elementary schools. But most of the Raytown High School, Raytown South High School, they're all on major roads, 350 Highway, Blue Ridge, and there's not sidewalks there. They're four-lane roads, and kids across the street are within that 1 mile. So you're asking them to walk at the high school kids, you know, at 6:30 in the morning.
Well, Josh, let me ask you, since you're in the middle of all of this, to borrow a phrase that some people hate, you have a dog in this fight. What is the answer?
I wish I could say. We went to our local school, Eastwood, to ask what they could do, and they just said, this is what we can do. Eastwood, that school happens to land, it's in Kansas City proper, but it's Raytown School District. So to get police officers over there, we got to get them from Kansas City. If we want to get a school zone, we got to get it from Kansas City. I don't know what Raytown needs to do about it aside from making it safer for the kids to walk there. I understand the bus problem is a problem, and it's not going to get fixed tomorrow. But the schools, when they decided to do this, and they told us 10 days outside of school starting this year that it was going to happen. But they didn't do anything about let's ask parents to volunteer to help these kids cross these dangerous roads, or let's have the janitor out to help us cross these dangerous roads, or let's call the police department to help these kids cross these dangerous roads. If you can't provide safe travel for them, you need to provide a safe way for them to travel themselves.
Well said. Fair enough, Josh. We really appreciate you getting in. Thanks for the insight. 913-586-7798. Cindy, also in Raytown. Hey, Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
Hanging in there.
We're
thanks.
Doing well. Thank you.
I am a Raytown resident. I went to school in Raytown, and I'm also a retired teacher. I'm going to agree with the gentleman who was just on there. There is a sidewalk problem on quite a few of the schools in Raytown. I was driving down the major street that's by my house the other day, and there were probably 8 to 10, and I would guess they were middle school students, that were trying to walk home from middle school, from the school that they go to, and there are no sidewalks on either side of the road, and they were in the street because there's big gullies on both sides of that road, so they really can't walk like on the grass. They'd be walking in the gully. And at that time, I thought, why are they walking? Because the school was quite a ways from where they were. But it looked like they were walking home because they kind of, I watched them, and one child went to one house and went to another. And even when I was growing up, there were no sidewalks at all on the street I lived on. And there was a elementary school on that street. And there were no sidewalks on either side of the road. And for the most part, there still aren't. So,
okay.
I would like for Raytown, and part of the problem is that you have Raytown schools located within the city limits of Kansas City, Missouri. So you've got some dual responsibility there as far as the sidewalk problem. But it would be, I would think that school district should be working on that long before school starts.
You're
and
right.
And I don't think that happened, because the school district I used to work for, they still don't have bus drivers picking up students at different places. And that's, the school district is a very large school district in the city.
Well, but Cindy and Jamie, what I'm hearing is there are one of two solutions, or maybe two total. It is either to get more bus drivers, and the key to doing that would be to pay them more than $15, $17, $18 an hour, whatever it is. And let's remember that most bus drivers, considering this is a part-time job, are retirees or stay-at-home parents,
right?
But mostly retirees, or we can just build more sidewalks. Both cost money. Both cost taxpayer money.
This is true, but the quicker solution would be to pay a higher wage. That would be a quicker fix than relying on sidewalks being built. I know that I saw a sign for one of the school districts. They were advertising they were paying $18.50 starting pay for bus drivers. So I don't know what the other school districts pay, but I know I saw $18.50 because I pass that sign every day.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy, thanks a lot for getting in. We appreciate the call and the insight. I don't know if money's going to do it. Because I'm going to go back to what you said about it maybe just not being a desirable job to, like, some of us could, you know, people that work kind of different odd hours could do one or the other, morning or afternoon. I don't want to drive a school bus. Like, I think part of it is just, it's just not a desirable job to have, to be driving this massive bus out in the snow and ice with all these kids on your bus that are being rowdy, that are pain. It's not a full-time job.
You can say it. They're, you know, pain in the ass.
Sometimes they are. I mean, you know, we all were on that bus. We all had those kids.
We were those kids.
And it's not a full-time job. It doesn't have benefits. It's weird hours where you're up and out and going at 5 or 5:30 in the morning and you're done at 8 or 9 and you're back out in the afternoon. It's conducive if you have kids in that district, you know, and maybe you're a stay-at-home parent and you've got kids in the district anyway, and that way you're on the same bus with them. I just don't know what's the magic number for an hourly rate where somebody is willing to deal with all of that for the money.
Well, it's obviously not $18.50 an hour.
No. So is it 20, 25?
And keep in mind, you know, and let me bring up the elephant in the room here. You have to have a CDL to drive a school bus.
Right.
I'll ask the question. I don't have the answer. Is it time we lower that standard?
So I don't know enough about somebody who has a CDL.
I used to have a CDL.
Okay. So I don't even know enough to ask this. Could you create a special license for driving a bus?
Theoretically.
That is not as difficult as getting a CDL that also doesn't qualify you to do as much, right? You can't drive a big rig.
Right.
Is there enough of a difference in driving a school bus compared to driving something else that you can have a separate license for?
Yes and no. You're still driving a much larger missile.
Yeah.
If that's how we're going to describe vehicles on the road, you are also carrying, I would argue, much more precious cargo.
For sure.
But the size of the bus is equivalent to some of the larger trucks that you would need a CDL to drive. Now, when people think of CDL, the problem with CDLs is they think of big 18-wheelers. Of course, you need a CDL to drive an 18-wheeler. But the reason I got a CDL was back in the early 1990s. I was a mover during college. That's how I made money through college, was I was a mover. And I ended up being there long enough that they wanted me to drive the trucks. These were not big 18-wheelers, but these were big moving trucks. And to drive one, you had to have a CDL because it had 8 gears or something crazy. Those trucks that I was driving to move people's furniture would be shorter than a school bus.
Okay.
And that's where, I mean, when you're trying to turn a vehicle that large, it's difficult. It takes some skill. Now, to your question, could we create a separate license, you know, a BDL, a bus driver's license or something? I don't know why not, but are you going to lower the standards? There would have to be some training involved, clearly.
So let me come back to, and we'll get back to the calls here. We've got more calls than we'll ever get to coming up here in just a sec. But Scott, I want to come back to the question that you asked. It might have been off the air. Do we need to loosen some of the non-driving requirements?
I.e., if you have a marijuana conviction on your record,
right.
Who cares?
Right. Yes. Do we need to look at that instead, to open up the pool of people that could drive?
Yes.
Is that the problem?
That's part of it.
913-586-7798. James in Lee Summit's been hanging on the longest. Hey, James, thanks for holding on.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, my guy got it right. You know, when he mentioned about these stops, it's too many stops. You know, I live in a rural area. There's a kid that lives right across the street. He gets picked up by the bus right across the street. He can't walk across the street to get to school. Now, when I was growing up, I like to hear from people that are 55 to 60 and older. Okay. When I was going to school, we didn't have sidewalks, okay? And I don't know if you know what 635 is, OKCK?
Yeah,
of course.
Oh, okay, there's a tunnel that goes up under there. And we walked up under it all the time. You know, because that's how far I had to walk to school. And now they shut it down because a little girl did get raped a couple years back, about 10, 15 years ago. But it shut it down. But back then, there was no light in a tunnel, you know, and we walked up under 635. And then as we get there, there was a field with cows in it, and we crossed over there and went on over to school. There was no problem back then. You know, I think we need to let, I don't know how old you guys are, but we walked to school. It was exercise for us. You know, now a lot of the kids are obese. It'll help both ways. And you asked about the CDL deal. You don't want to mess with that because you already got some folks that are driving RVs that are the size of those things. And if they got air brakes, totally different brake system. And that's where it gets kind of a slippery slope there. So you don't want to mess with that. Leave it the way it is. Instead of having a special license somewhere. When you think about RVs, people that have those things, depends on which one you have. You need to have an RV license. I mean, a CDL license to operate those. And I do have a CDL license too. But you don't want to mess with that.
James, thanks for the call. Then we sit here with the same question. What do we do?
Pay more money. You're going to have to.
All right. So if you had not considered driving a bus, what's the number that would do it? If you have the availability, I ask the universe, what's the dollarly rate, dollarly rate as I make up words here, what's the hourly rate that would get you to do it? Is it 20 an hour, 25 an hour, 30? What would get you to deal with some of the stuff that we're talking about here? Let's get one more call on her before we take a break. Sam's been hanging on the line in Raytown. Hey, Sam.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I was just going to tell you, I live in Raytown currently, but I am from St. Joe, and so I don't really know a lot about the Raytown sidewalks and all that because we haven't been here long. But when I was in St. Joe, I helped an elementary school organize a walking school bus where we literally just went around and walked and picked up the kids and took them to school. So I don't know if that would be an option, if anybody would help do that. We have church volunteers do that, and then moms and dads that had kids on the bus would come too.
It's not a bad idea. Thanks a lot for getting in, Sam. We appreciate it. We need to get to a break here. If you're on hold, we will get to as many of you as we can before 1 o'clock. We'll take a break. Be back in just a few minutes on KMBZ. Taking your calls, 913-586-7798. Scott Parks in for John Grayson, talking about the bus shortage, in particular the one that exists in Raytown schools, where they've just expanded the area where they want parents to be responsible for getting kids to school now. So they want elementary kids to walk up to a mile and everybody else to walk up to a mile and a half. And if you live in Raytown, and a lot of you do that are giving us a call, give us some insight into the challenges there. Let's go to Bruce first up out of Raytown. Hey, Bruce.
Yes. I live in Raytown, lived there all my life. I'm 77 years old, and I watch things as they happen. And I watched them build a ball field in Raytown North. It's a soccer field or something. They spent $1 million on it, and then they built another one in Raytown South. And I don't hardly ever see anybody playing on those fields, either one of them, because I go by there all the time. And I don't understand how they can spend $2 million on ball fields for kids, but they can't make them safe and put sidewalks in. That doesn't. And I know it's different money from the schools than it is from the city or the state, but the school could have done it. They could have said, well, it's not safe for these kids. Let's put sidewalks in.
Boy, wouldn't it be great if it was that simple? It's just not.
Well, I know it's not, but I'm just saying that how can they spend $1 million, $2 million on those ball fields that are sitting there empty most of the time, just with nobody on them? And they got bleachers, they got everything. They even sunk pipes in the ground. They don't know what they did. I don't know why they did that, but maybe that's how they heat the schools. I don't know. But, you know, that's just kind of silly to me that they – all that money goes for naught because it's just sitting there.
Okay. Bruce, thank you for the call. If I can weigh in on that.
Please.
You're right. It's not that simple. We're talking about two completely different entities that would have to be involved. The sidewalks are clearly the city's purview, not the school district's. The school district is not going to take its money that it could use for teacher salaries, that it could use for building improvements, better, you know, facilities, et cetera, and spend that and say, well, the city's not picking up its fair share of the tab, so we're just going to throw millions and millions of dollars toward building new sidewalks. If the argument is, we need better sidewalks. We're not going to pay the school bus drivers any more money. We're not going to raise the pay or lower the standards. We're going to simply expect the kids to walk to school. That's fine.
Right.
But you have to come to the conclusion, and I think we're all in agreement here, that a kid walking to school without a sidewalk is not a safe idea. Period. End of story. So then you have to go to your city and tell them, listen, you know, between 63rd and 57th Street, where my child would have to walk to school,
mm-hmm.
along Cedar, whatever, there are no sidewalks. There is no way for my child to even walk the long way because there are no sidewalks. And so I'm calling on you, the city, not the school district. I'm calling on you, the city, who also takes my tax money to build sidewalks. Now, to Bruce's argument, sorry, I'm not trying to commandeer this conversation.
Please, have at it.
But to Bruce's argument that school districts have money and have rather elaborate sporting facilities these days, he will get no argument. I was out, and it's very nice. I'm not condemning it. I was out this weekend watching a youth football game at the DeSoto High School. And their athletic complex, I hadn't been out to DeSoto since I played high school ball for Lansing 35 years ago.
Yeah.
The athletic complex at DeSoto High School is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. I was shocked when we walked back there to watch, and these were middle school kids playing football, but they were using the high school field. I was blown away by all of the fields that are out there and just the amenities that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your argument is some of that money should have been spent on paying bus drivers more money so that we could actually get these kids to school, you'll get no argument from me.
Yes. All right, let's do one more quick call here. Am I good to go, Colin? One more? All right, let's go. Let's get Carol in Garnett on. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I was going to say, I'm in my 70s, but when I was going to high school in one of the school districts, our bus driver was one of the high school teachers. And so he did the morning route, and he did the evening route, afternoon route. And he was there at school, and he was there after the school bell went, and there was no problem as far as that goes. So why couldn't the teachers do that now?
I guess they could. My concern is we ask a lot of teachers already, and we have a teacher shortage as it is. I don't know that asking them to drive buses in addition to everything else they're dealing with is something they're going to be anxious to do. Somebody just texted and said, I was a teacher. I'd rather go back to teaching than be on a school bus.
And no disrespect to the previous caller, I believe I heard a collective, oh, hell no,
yeah,
from every teacher that is listening right now. They would say, we've got plenty other things to do than drive kids to and fro.
Like teach your kids. You know, they need that time to prep and teach your kids. So if you are curious, coming up on October 21st, there is a test drive event where people can test drive a bus and apply for a job October 21st from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. if you want to go check that out if you're interested. Thanks to everybody who got in here. Coming up in the next hour, I don't know why this next story fascinates me so much that it does, but there is a cheating scandal in the world of fishing tournaments. And when you find out how much money is on the line, you'll find out why they're required to take polygraph tests as well. We'll get to that story and more coming up in the next hour here on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.